I'd like to speak this morning. The title is Led by the Holy Spirit. And I do believe that all of us, each one of us, really need to know the voice of God more and more in our spirit to direct us and help us in every area of our lives. So let us pray. Father, whether things are going wonderfully well or whether things were in the valley, wherever it may be, Lord God, you're there for us with love, compassion and kindness, and we thank you. But Lord, sometimes we falter because we don't hear you. We falter, Lord God, because you want to lead us, and perhaps we sometimes don't want to go where you want to lead us. So help us by your Spirit today to bring revelation and understanding, that by your powerful word, your Holy Spirit too, we may truly be those who are led by the Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. First of all, I would like to just share about Jesus Christ, who, when he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, the first thing that he did was to be led into the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. And as we look and see what Jesus went through, we will begin to understand a bit more, and I'll come on to this, but when you think LED, it's LED, there's quite a lot of brightness in LED. So following Jesus is going to put a light on things perhaps we'd never seen before. So let's have a look at this. Matthew 4, if you wish, Luke 4, 1. It is written, this is how Jesus defeated the evil one. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And we need to have scripture in our heart, in our spirit, to enable us to be able to, when the times come, when they're good or bad, every day to be led by the Spirit of God. Now led, L-E-D, if you went back to the Greek root of that word, funnily enough, it means to struggle. Led. Now, if you ever see a horse for the first time with a bridle and someone trying to get on it or what, or animals, you can see they're not going to be that easy sometimes to break. They're going to be wanting to do things their way. How many people want to do things your way? You see, what we want to do is to be led by the Spirit so we are available to God to do things under his control. And that struggle, have you ever struggled in your flesh? When the Spirit was leading you to do something or telling you to do something? Well, I have. It's a struggle, guys and girls. It is a struggle sometimes when you know God is wanting you to do something, but yet you know, God, I want to help. I want to do this. I'm struggling to do it. And perhaps all of us, till the death we die, will be struggling in the flesh in some way or another. But take heart, because even in our struggles, he's there and his love is for us every step of the way. His love never changes, whether we get it right or whether we get it wrong. But it will do us much more good if we're led by the Spirit and do it his way. I'm just going to read a passage from Romans 8, if you wanted to be there. Romans 8, 9 to 17. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. But if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons or daughters of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory. If we are his sheep, as he tells us in John 10, if we're his sheep, we will know his voice. I'm asking you, do you spend enough time? It's not necessarily enough time, it's time enabling him to be able to speak to you. You may be walking down the prom, you may be whistling or doing something, you might be washing dishes or whatever, but God longs to speak to you and to me. He longs to have fellowship. That's the most important thing we can do, is have fellowship with Jesus Christ. And the Spirit will lead us to look more to the eyes of Jesus. He will lead us to Jesus. He will demonstrate his love for Jesus, because that's what he wants to do. And he tells us there, his sheep knows his voice. That's John 10:4. And I really just challenge us again. When did you last hear the voice of him? I'm not talking necessarily audibly. I'm talking about in your spirit being, that you may truly know direction. Because that's what he wants for each one of us, to direct us and help us, guide us. And he says in verse 10 of that, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And that's what it means. If we will be spirit-led, he will lead us and give us greater wisdom, authority, etc. John 7, 38-39 tells us, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow within him. By this he meant the Spirit, with whom those believed in him would later receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. And the word there, flow, the meaning of that word, flow, means the river is fast flowing. It is flowing so fast, and there's so much of it, it breaks the bank and it flows over the bank. In other words, when the Spirit comes, he wants to flow in us so boldly, so much that he overflows, that when we go somewhere, the overflow of the Spirit will be noticed by other people, with the love and the joy and all that which God gives to his people. And that's on the ups and the downs. Have the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we know that as we picture this bank and overflowing, that's what really he's saying to us. That's how I want to be in you, overflowing. You see, the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the Holy Spirit are inseparable. Also, Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. We need to know that they are exactly the same. Now, when Gary was singing in tongues today, he sang in one of the tongues, Alos. That is exactly the Greek word for, if you like, one of the same kind. That's what it means, one of the same kind. That's what you sung twice in the Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are one of the same kind. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, who is the same as Jesus Christ. He will be in you. He will help you, as if you're walking with Jesus hand in hand, as the disciples did. He will be there for you every step of the way. Come to him that he may be able to guide you, lead you, direct you. Just like Jesus, we need partnership with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had the Holy Spirit, and he didn't do anything great until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need to know that's what God wants for us. He has not left us orphans. The Holy Spirit resides in us. We are his permanent home. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. He's there all the time for us. We are the residence in which he lives. We're the people of God, and he loves to come and be within us. All the time he's there. The only time the Holy Spirit goes on holiday is when we go on holiday. Anything you watch which is grubby, or read a book or a newspaper or whatever it is which is wrong, Jesus is there with you. You're putting him through it. And by his Spirit. But I want us to really understand, maybe sometimes we need to listen, and if he says, switch that off, switch it off. If he tells you it's wrong, it's wrong. If he tells you don't do it, Don't do it. I can remember years ago, let me just say this. I should be much, much, much more understanding God's word and hearing his voice than I do. I mean that. I should know, and it's a failure on my part, not his. I can remember over 40 years ago, a friend loaned me a book. And I was sitting on the couch, and I can remember it as clear as a bell, as if it was yesterday. The light was shining behind me, and I was reading this book. And God spoke to me, and I'm not going through the whole story, but he spoke to me, and I thought, God, do you speak to people today, really here? And so I said to Nita, we've got to get down to church tonight. This was a Tuesday night. She said, what for? I said, I've no idea. So anyway, we went down to the church that night, and I tell you, this is so clear. Hugh Pierce, a lovely guy who was at Northgate School, teacher, and he said, Terry, I've been praying that you'd come tonight. I said, but what I've come for, I've no idea. I did when I left. I was church warden, I was this. So they soon got me involved. But what I'm saying is, I didn't know it was on. I didn't know it was the AGM. I had no idea, but God, through that book, I put that book down and we went. I'll tell you something else that happened. This was before we came to Felixstowe. We knew that we were on kind of a journey with the Lord in this way. And we knew that we wanted to do things right with God and what he'd got for us. And I can remember we just didn't know where to move to. And I can remember I looked at this fabulous apartment. It was off Christchurch Park. And I was walking through Christchurch Park and I looked at it and I thought, wow, from the outside. And God spoke to me so clearly and he said, don't look at it, it is not for you. Oh, and it was so good. It was so good. So I phoned the agent up. Oh, see, one step along the wrong path, okay? Two steps along the wrong. I went and looked at it, and it was fabulous. It was absolutely fabulous. And so then I told Nita, and she said, how do you know it's of God? I said, oh, it isn't of God. She said, well, then we don't want it, do we? So I said, but Nita, it's so good. And I got her to look at it as well. Anyway, we looked at this thing. And if we had have gone there, I know we would not be in Felixstowe now. Because it was the devil trying to stop us coming and doing what God has called us to do. And that's what he wants to do all the way. He wants to derail you. He wants you to put you up a sidetrack. He wants to do all those things to stop you being led by the Spirit. And when we knew it was Felixstowe, I look back and I think, how thick spiritually I must have been to have heard God and tell me not to, and then go and look at this place, which he knew with my human eyes and human heart, I would think, boy, that is fabulous. But it was fabulously not for me. But I'm just trying to help us here. I don't get it right many, many times. I could tell you loads of times I've been directed in things like this. But I just want to let you know that God so wants to be in partnership with us. He wants fellowship with us in the Holy Spirit. You know, if we want revival, it starts here with me and with you. We could have revival in this place if we will be revived. That's what God wants for us all. He wants revival. And revival comes through walking with him, being with him, doing what he tells us to do, and we will see absolutely stunning things happen in the spiritual realm because we're, if you like, in touch with him because he's in us. And Jesus, he promises us the Holy Spirit, and I'll just share this because Gary, this is what he said, Elos of the same kind. He said this in John 15 to 21. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives within you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. That's where we get that word allos from, one of the same kind. One of the same kind. And the Holy Spirit will never tell you something which is contrary to the word. He will never tell you something that you shouldn't know. He will tell you what is in the word, and he will go even deeper than that and probably tell you where you should live or shouldn't live, where you get in your spirit that peace and joy and understanding. Just on that, I'll just give you a couple of things here, because this smiled as I saw this or read it yesterday. There are 27 times in the New Testament that talks about water baptism. There's 28 times in the New Testament that speaks of the breaking of bread or communion. And there are 103 times it speaks about being led or the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. So if you could see how desperate we need the Holy Spirit for guidance and help, we would begin to think that's four times more. Water baptism is so important, don't get me wrong, because there's no need for him to tell you to be baptized by water, because he's already told you. So he doesn't have to prompt your heart and you to say, I'm not ready. It's not ready, it's saying, I will obey you. That's what the Holy Spirit does, that's what he wants. So don't be stupid like I was with that stinking apartment. You think, yeah, I've got to be baptized. Why? Because it tells me to. It's that simple. I was simple to go and look at that thing. In the Bible it says be baptized, and that's why I got baptized, because that's what I wanted to do. And it tells us this too, and please hear me. I read this in a book that someone gave me about a month ago. We hadn't seen them for a long time. Went out for a meal with them. They came down from Manchester. We had a meal, and he said, Terry, I want to send you two books, both the same, give one away. And I've given one to Trevor. And I want to tell you, it's really, really made me pull my socks up. It has really spoken to me. I've read this book just a page at a time and been in prayer and tried to really understand what this book is saying. And this book, I can tell you, is really making me think. I've taken probably about 3 weeks to read, I don't know, 50 pages of this book, because I'm taking a long time over it, digesting it, reading through it, asking the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says. And this is for all of us. Whatever job you're in, whatever you're doing, whatever, doesn't matter. This is what he says in this book. Martin Luther King Jr. said this: do everything by the spirit of excellence, so we should strive at all times to achieve this. If a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets as Michelangelo painted pictures, or as Beethoven composed music, or as Shakespeare wrote poetry. What he's saying is this: he should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great sweepstreeter, or whatever you call road sweeper, who did his job well. Because he did it in the Holy Spirit and for the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it so that people would see how well he was in his heart and the attitude that he had and the way in which he did things. And so I can only say to us all, make sure that as we lead the Christian life, we are so led by love of the Holy Spirit that when people cross our path, we can really, really see, and or he can, or others can, we are doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. If he's been telling you or me to stop something, I just share this with you so you can know. Many people do struggle, and we sing like the chains have been broken, etc. I can tell you the only person who can break the chains for you is the Holy Spirit. You may have tried it yourself and tried it yourself and fallen and fallen and fallen, and you just cannot master. And I tell you why. There's only one person who can help you, and it's the Holy Spirit. And he, by being in you, can conquer anything that you've been addicted to, anything you know you've done wrong, anything there is. Yes, you're set free in the blood of Jesus, of course, but you don't want to keep going down those alleys. If the fruit of your life is producing grief, you're in the wrong route, because it should be producing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Don't we all want to walk in this world in the best way we can possibly, guided by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? Isn't that your heart and my heart to do that? You'll find life will be 100% better than you ever thought it could be. Will you have struggles? Yes, you will have struggles. Jesus Christ said, you will have struggles in this world, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so, yes, before we make it to eternity, we will have struggles. They're part of, I believe, when we have a struggle, tending our faith, if you like. It's making us so, is your faith really sure? Is your faith concrete in me? Are you sure that you're really where you should be in me? You're forgiven, you're loved. What else could God do for us? And sent his own son, and then he dies on a cross, and he sends the Holy Spirit to guide us every step of the way. He's done a wonderful job. We're the ones who fail him, never he fails us. He's a good God all the time in all that he does. And I know many of us have gone through tough times, and many of us have perhaps wondered where the Lord is at sometimes, wherever. But just like Ivan shared this morning, he's always there for us. If we will just put our hearts with him, he is there to direct us and help us. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we say we don't have because we don't ask. And I pray today, Lord God, as we ask you to lead us and guide us through life. Father, we're expecting to hear your voice. We're expecting to hear in our hearts and in our spirit the way you want us to be and the things you want us to do. We're expecting, Lord God, that there, when we ask, you are there for us. So this week, Father, I pray that we will hear your voice. We will know it's you. And we will come to that place where we long to be guided and directed every step of the way in Christ's name. And just to say, when I first started hearing the voice of God, and I'd like to do so more, I kept saying to the Lord, when these things kept coming to pass that I kept hearing, and I kept thinking, where did that come from, Lord? Did that come from my mind? He said, no. And then I realized when it came from my spirit. And instead of coming into my mind like this, it came from here into my mind. The Spirit brought that truth into my mind. That's the only way I can describe it. The Spirit brought that truth into my mind, not head knowledge coming in this way, but spirit knowledge that way. So just beware when you begin to hear, just find, did it come from here? Or did it just come from my head? I was just trying to be helpful in that way. May you be blessed this week. Hallelujah. Amen.